Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, precious saints of God. How are you doing today? I hope you're doing well. Well, it's Thursday, and it's Thursday, April 20th. Can you believe that? It was only a couple of weeks ago that the month started, and the month is almost gone. Well, we are in studio today to continue our series entitled God's Revival Streams. Our scripture text comes to us by means of the pen of the prophet Ezekiel, who wrote down this vision for the benefit of the Jewish people and us today. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Our focus today, we're focusing on verses 6, 7, and 8, but let's start reading from verse number 1. Ezekiel 47, starting at verse 1, and we will stop at verse number 8.
Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me,
Son of man, have you seen this?
Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other.
This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed.
When the revival streams reach the sea, the waters are healed. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we turn to you again and to your word and to your spirit, that by means of your word you may teach us and by means of your spirit you may guide us, and that you at the end of this exercise would bless us. We turn to you, O God, because you are the God of promises. You are the God of vision. The God that inspires us to believe you for the impossible. We are surrounded by a decaying society, a society leavened with evil. Iniquity abounds, sin abounds. But Paul said, where sin did abound, much more did the grace of God. Oh God, provide us with your grace. We need your abounding grace, your overflowing grace throughout the village of St. Johnsville. We pray, Lord, that your revival streams would be like rivulets going down every street, every avenue, every place, every boulevard, every drive, in St. Johnsville, starting at Ann Street and ending at William Street. Father, that you would begin to save and heal and bring back, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. We started on Monday, April 17th, to talk about what causes God's revival streams to issue. And we concluded, based on our first study on Monday, that revivals are secured because of the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. He was pierced on his side. And from his side issued blood to cancel out our sins and water to revive mankind again. It is from the side of, it is from the body of Christ that revival issues. In our study on Tuesday, the 18th, we talked about how Ezekiel, in this vision, begins to see water issuing from the house of God, from the sanctuary of God, from the temple of God, and how it went forth, and it started out slow but began to emerge. It began to flow downstream. It began to advance and to finally overtake. So much so that the prophet said, the waters first started at my ankles, and now the waters were so high, so deep, that now I was swimming in the blessings of God. And we prayed. And we said, Lord, let your revival rivulets go through every street, every drive, every place, every boulevard, every avenue in St. Johnsville. And there in your outline are all the streets where we're asking our God to bless St. Johnsville with an outpouring of his Spirit. And, of course, yesterday, Wednesday, I was doing a lesson on membership, so I'm back today to talk about God's revival streams cause trees. And here in Ezekiel's vision, trees are representative of believers. Now look at Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, and it says, starting at verse 6, and he said unto me, Son of man, do you see this? And he brought me, and he caused me to return to the sides or the brink of the river. And when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And there you have a picture. There you have a picture. So what are these trees representative of? Well, trees are representative in the Bible of believers. I'm going to show you very, very shortly. So notice, the revival streams begin slow. They begin at the ankles, and then they go to the knee, and from the knee to the waist, and then from the waist, we're swimming in revival. We're swimming in the blessings of God. We're swimming in his irresistible grace. People are getting saved. People are coming to Christ. God is drawing because we're lifting up Jesus, and there's a great, great many souls coming to the Lord. It always starts out small. It always starts out with one. Remember in our prayer manual, we have the woman. Remember the story of the woman with the little red schoolhouse? And one woman started to pray, and then before you know it, there was a revival. There was a revival in the land. It always starts out small. Now, I'm going to show you in the Bible that trees represent believers. Before we get there, this is what we want to pray for. Now, on Tuesday, I encouraged you to pray that the revival streams would hit every street in St. Johnsville. Today, I want you to pray that the revival streams would hit every church in St. Johnsville. Let's begin to pray again. Let's stoke the fires of prayer. Let's get back on our knees. Let's get into fervent prayer. And let's pray for every church, every pastor, every church board in our village, that the waters of revival, that the streams of revival impact every church, every pastor, and every church board. Let's pray that. Now, who are the churches? Well, we have the Lutheran Church. We have the Reformed Church. We have Seekers Fellowship Church. We have Bethsaida Fellowship Church. We have the Methodist Church. And please, let's pray for the Methodist Church. The word out is that they're going to shut down at the end of the year. This is a perfect time. This is an opportune moment to pray that God would touch the Methodist Church and revive it, and, of course, our church. So you have the Lutheran Church. You have the Reformed Church. You have the Seekers Church, the Bethsaida Church, the Methodist Church, and Grace Church. Let's pray. Now, let me show you how, in Bible language, believers are looked upon as trees. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Let's go there. The book of Psalms chapter 1. It's a famous psalm. It's the psalm written by Ezra, the priest, and He begins the book of Psalms by giving us this wonderful introduction. Look what it says starting at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now that word law there is Torah. Don't think of law as rules and regulations, because that's not what the Hebrew word Torah means. The word Torah means teachings. We can translate it this way. His delight is in the teachings of the Lord. And in the teachings of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There it is. The true believer, the person who is rooted in God, is like a tree planted by what? By the rivers of water, the rivers of revival. And he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doth, it prospers. The man, the woman of God, who lives in the Word of God, who is guided by the Spirit of God, lives in perpetual revival. He is like an evergreen tree. His leaf never withers. You know, there are some trees that when the fall comes, their leaves begin to wither. Well, the evergreen, his leaf never withers. An evergreen is a tree that reminds us of the believer who is ever connected to God. Fall may come, winter may come, but he keeps his leaves. So let's read that again. Verse 3, he, the one who delights in the teachings of the Lord, who stays connected to God, he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, the Midas touch, whatever a true man or woman of God does, whatever they touch turns to gold. The Midas touch. But look what it says in verse 4. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff, which is driven away. See, they don't last. So the believer is like trees. Let's turn to Psalm 92, verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's the believer who is connected to God. Fat means that the trunk is huge. They're huge evergreens. A cedar is an evergreen. A palm tree is an evergreen, believe it or not. So the believer is, the saints of God are compared to trees. So now look at the picture. On both sides of the river, on each bank, there are what? There are trees. Now think of St. Johnsville. Right down the middle of St. Johnsville is Main Street. You have East Main and West Main. And you might have to correct me on Sunday because I don't know if I got this right. But when I go down Main Street and there's a section called West Main and there's a section called East Main, there are churches on both sides of Main Street. Think about that for a moment. Just like here in the picture, you see this river? I look at that river and I say, that's Main Street in St. Johnsville. And on the one side you have churches, and on the other side you have churches. And those churches are made up of trees or believers. You see, the first thing, the very first thing that revival impacts is God's churches. It makes no difference what side of the river you're on. If you're a tree, right there, right next to the bank, those revival streams will cause you to flourish. And this is why we're praying, saints. We are praying. Again, this is amazing. Look at the text. Right down the middle, on both sides, you have trees. The prophet, it says here, let's go back to Ezekiel 37. Let's look at this again. I want you to read the text, Ezekiel 37. 47, excuse me, Ezekiel 47. And it says in Ezekiel 47, it says in verse 7, "Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees," many believers, "on the one side and the other." Believers like the ones you find in Psalm chapter 1. Believers described in Psalm 92. Believers. Trees. Now those, Psalm 1 and Psalm 92 describes the saints of God. In Matthew 3, you have the unconverted. Let's go to Matthew 3 for a moment. Matthew chapter 3. It says in Matthew chapter 3, verses starting at verse 7, "But when John the Baptist saw the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now notice, under John the Baptist is the revivalist. John the Baptist is being used of God. If you read this chapter, there is revival. John the Baptist had no building, but people were coming to him in droves. His building had no benches. He had no air conditioning. John the Baptist had nothing. You know, when you attend these church growth conferences, the people putting on the presentations will tell you, well, if you want your church to go, make sure you have a lot of parking, make sure you have air conditioning, make sure you have enough seating, comfortable seating, make sure you have a nursery, make sure you have this. Yeah, John the Baptist had nothing but the Spirit of God and the Word of the Lord in his mouth, and people were coming to him from everywhere. So when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, to the River Jordan, mind you, notice the River Jordan, he said, "Oh, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits that meet the standard of repentance. And think not within yourselves to say, we have Abraham as our father, for I'm able to say unto you that God is able to raise up children from these stones unto Abraham." Now look at verse 10. He says, "Now also the axe is laid unto the roots of the trees." On one side of the river, you had the Pharisees. On the other side, you had the Sadducees. And they were bad trees. And John says, you better watch out, because now God, with his axe, is going to lay the axe at the root of every tree, and every tree which does not bring forth fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. That's a revival preacher, preaching fire and brimstone while at the same time preaching the grace of God. So in Matthew 3, verses 7 through 10, you have unconverted trees. In Psalm 1 and Psalm 92, you have converted trees, the saints of God. Now in Matthew 7, verses 15 and 20, you have pretenders. These are pretenders. Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to Matthew 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says, these are the words of the Savior. He says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you, what? In sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are what? Ravening wolves. These are pretenders. These are actors. These are hypocrites. Jesus says in verse 16, you shall know them by what? By their fruit. That's how you'll know them. Everybody's a tree. Everyone is a tree. Some trees produce good fruit. Some trees produce horrible fruit. The ones that produce the awful fruit, God cuts them down. In verse 20, Jesus reiterates and he emphasizes what he said in verse 16 when he says, wherefore by their fruits, not by what they say, not by the lines regurgitate. Don't go by hallelujah and praise the Lord. Go by their actions. That's what you go by the fruit. He says, by their fruit, you will know them. So let's pray. Let's pray. You know, we're praying that the revival streams will hit every street in St. Johnsville. But then Ezekiel said, I saw the revival streams affect trees on both sides. Oh, Lord, will you affect your churches on both sides of Main Street? Will you produce the kind of saints that will make churches strong? Will you do that, Lord? Will you do that? And you say, well, Pastor, what kind of believers are those? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Look what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, he says in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Wait a minute, Pastor, God wants me to be perfect like him? Yes. Now, it's not talking about sinless perfection that no one can achieve. It's talking about fruit. You see, the word perfect means complete. It means complete. Be complete as your Father in heaven is complete. Well, how can I be complete? Well, the answer to that question is found in Galatians chapter 5. Let's go to Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. If we are flowing in the Holy Spirit, if we are engaged in revival, if we are like those trees in Ezekiel's vision that are taking in the streams of revival, then this is the kind of fruit that we shall bear. And there's nine of them. There's nine fruit. And if you have all nine, then you are complete or perfect. If you have seven, you're not there yet. If you have five, you're not. Listen, five, okay, but what happened to the other four? You have eight fruit. What happened with number nine? You see, God wants us to mature. God wants us to be so impacted by his Spirit that we are perfect, that we are complete. In what? Well, it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the first fruit. Joy. Second, peace. Third, long-suffering. Four, gentleness. Five, goodness. Six, faith. Seven, meekness. Prince, nine. Against such there is no what? Violation of law. You see, my brothers and sisters, when Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, our Heavenly Father manifests all these nine. And we are called, when revival hits, when we come into contact, you see, it's about coming into contact with the water. It is the water that produced the trees on both sides. When the Spirit of God is moving, it produces believers with these nine fruit.
That's what we need. That's what the Methodist Church needs, and that's what the Reformed Church needs. That's what the Lutheran Church needs. That's what every church in St. Johnsville needs, including grace. When you have believers who are compared to trees that bear these nine fruit, my brothers and sisters, then we will experience heaven on earth. Then we can say that prayer, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Then we will see the manifestation of that prayer when people are really exhibiting all nine fruit of the Spirit. Be ye perfect. Don't be a pretender. No. We don't want anything to do with pretenders. They're dangerous. Jesus says, forget about what they say. Look for the fruit. Remember Jesus and the fig tree. The fig tree had a lot of leaves, but no fruit, and Jesus cursed it. A pretending tree, an inviting tree that provided nothing. It was acting, and Jesus cursed it, and it shriveled up. Well, we're going to leave it there. So remember now, what are we praying for? We're praying that not only will those streams of revival flow down every nook and cranny of St. Johnsville, but that it will also affect every congregation, every pastor, every church board, everyone. That St. Johnsville will be known as the village with mighty churches in it, mighty preachers in it, church boards that are determined to do the will of God. I believe it can happen. And the reason why I believe it can happen is because God is still God. The Lord is still the Lord. And if he's the Lord, shall come to pass. He says in his word to remind us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll see you all tomorrow. May God bless you until then. Take care.